Welcome to Bengals Scribe Session, presented by JosephAuto.com and Inquirer Sports. Here, your Bengals beat writers will escort you inside the walls of Carl Brown Stadium to hear the news, analysis, and observations unfolding within the team from those documenting it daily. All with the sidecar of snark and absurdity you've come to expect. Let's go. We're about to start a party in here. Keys, bass, drums, and guitar in here. Looks like we got a good crowd in here.
Turn it up, pretend and get loud. Ball, the ball out. Is out. Ball's the Bengals out. Have scooped Ball's it up. Out. Terrence yeah. Newman running back yeah. to the 30, yeah. 20, yeah. 10, yeah. 5, touchdown. Zone. It is knocked up in the air. AJ Green makes the catch.
Oh man!
A deflected ball winds up in the hands of AJ Green as the clock hits zero. It's about to get rowdy here, but if you want to
fight, get out of here. All right, welcome back to the latest edition of our Inquirer Sports Bengals Beat Writers podcast, which is not a good acronym.
No.
This will be the third week in a row that we start this by saying that we're still working title. At some point, we've got to settle on something.
I'm really disappointed in the people because I really didn't want to have to come up with this on my own.
Yeah, we were hoping.
I should say, I didn't want to have to come up with any ideas. But
here we are.
Yeah, we may have to.
Well, and soon. I got to say thank you. The people did respond.
That is true.
It wasn't that there wasn't responses. It's not that they weren't good. I mean, we've gotten some good title responses. We haven't had the one yet. You know,
no,
it's like they say, you just know.
You do.
You just know when you've got the one.
Yeah.
And right now we're just dating.
Yeah.
We're just dating all these different names. You find one you like, but you know she's got some weird stuff in the past, you know, and it doesn't sit right. You got the other one that you really like. You want to take it to your boss, but you know, can you live with it on a regular basis?
Right.
I don't know that you can.
Right. That's a commitment level.
It is.
Like you're naming something. Now we can change
forever.
Our name. Well,
see that's just
forever.
We're not marrying it. We're not marrying it yet. Although you can't go changing the name all the time.
Right.
We've got to. Anyway, for now, Inquirer Sports Bengals Beat Writers Podcast.
Yeah.
Don't worry. By the time the season starts, you'll love it.
This is an organized training activity.
It's what it is. This is an OTA.
Yeah.
This is exactly what it is. We're just here just working on how this is, you know, let it happen organically. You can't install the most important thing on day one. You've got to let it evolve. You got to learn what pieces we have here and how it's all going to fit together before you put that title on the front.
Right.
So now that we settled that, in case you, Paul Dana Jr., Jim Ostarski here with you on your Bengals podcast. First day of OTAs. Can you feel the excitement? Oh my gosh.
It was a magical moment.
When
the air horn went off
and
large men in shorts ran around for a little while.
They did with helmets on.
Yeah. They do have helmets on.
It's really all that's changed. I mean, they have helmets on now. They're in practice.
Right.
The rookies. And here's the thing about OTAs is everybody out there can pretend that they care about something, but all they really care about is not getting hurt. The coaches don't want anybody to get hurt. The players don't want to get hurt. The only thing that happens that takes people's breath away when someone goes to the ground. Right? They're do not go to the ground is pretty much the one rule. Everyone stand on your feet. The only way people get hurt is if they go on the ground diving for balls. And we saw Rex Burkhead almost got his face taken off at one point.
Right.
AJ Green dove for a ball.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that happened in the film review of the OTA practice on Tuesday, it was AJ stopped diving for balls in OTAs.
Yeah, Marvin, it was funny because he was asked the same question in several different ways. What do you take or what did you learn or whatever out of the day?
And I mean, what do you ask?
And he refused to answer that, basically saying it is the first day. However, he did note that and say, we don't want anyone on the ground and we don't want anyone falling over. And it's how Tyler Eifert was hurt. Now, I don't know if it was an OTA, but I mean, George Iloka fell on him and tore his labrum.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, and obviously, as Marvin Lewis said on Tuesday, that's an unnecessary injury. Not that they're all, yes. any, you know. So yeah, that was of all the takeaways. Yes, it was. Don't get hurt. Run around and when film's broken down. And actually, Marvin said that we have some moments today to say, guys, don't do this.
Right, right. And really, to me, what it is more is when you see guys going out there, going through the motions at a little bit bigger speed, and you learn who is confused.
Yeah.
You learn who's confused. Because some guys might flash. I mean, it's interesting when you watch the receivers versus the DBs. You can get some good one-on-ones out there. Quarterbacks,
right.
a little bit, you can see how accurate, you know, whatever. But quarterbacks, you learn so much more about when they're throwing with a guy in their face. It's almost hard to judge them when they're throwing against where they know they're not going to get hit. But still, you can get a bit of a feel. But outside of that, I mean, are you going to judge Jake Fisher on the offensive line when it's a non-contact practice? I mean,
right.
there's some pushing and shoving in there, but there it's you really can't. Judge much. It's just stay healthy. Well, I want to real quick run down what we're going to do for you today. We're going to run down some sort of news of the week type things. So they're, you know, first day of OTAs, in case you know, OTAs, three of these that are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday this week. Of course, Tuesday, May 29th, Tuesday through Thursday. Then next week, Tuesday through Thursday. Then the June 9th through the 11th, Tuesday through Thursday. And then the last thing of the offseason program will be mandatory mini camp, which is more like a real practice. You can have contact there. That's 3 days, June 16th through the 18th. And then that's it. And then they disappear for pretty much 5 weeks until training camp starts. But so we only get access one on the first day of those 3 days. So we had access on Tuesday, and we'll have access next Tuesday after that. So what you learn today kind of becomes Newsweek. And the first one, because it's the first practice type thing that we're able to see, there are a few things that that you do learn about. Let's run down some of them here real quick. And after that, we're going to do – we like exercises around here. No, I don't like doing exercise, we like
what?
Mental. Yeah, okay. What are we going to run? Because I was not prepared. I was told there would be no running.
We hope you're exercising listening to this.
Yes. We fully promote treadmill scribe session.
Yes.
Or artist formerly known as scribe session.
Right.
As long
as we're not doing it.
Yeah. Let us know if what will help you too. Could we just throw some motivational running songs just in the middle of the podcast for no reason, you know? Just
a very subtle Chariots of Fire.
Just as a bed underneath, yeah. you know, just to make so our runners know that we support them.
Right. It's an instrumental.
Yeah.
Very soothing.
I don't know. I'm thinking about this now.
Paul Dano Jr. was left speechless for about a second and a half.
There.
I think I won something.
I win. It doesn't happen often, but that does make me think if maybe we should have a running segment for our runners.
Yeah,
that are just really when they're struggling. Because let's see. I mean, when you're running, for me, I start struggling immediately when I start running. But I think for most runners, they'll tell you, I don't know, what, a half hour, 45 minutes in, you need a little extra push from your music. So maybe just randomly, a half hour to 45 minutes into our podcast, we just lay in some Chariots of Fire or
that'd be interesting.
You know, some Macklemore.
That's energy. That's rant. Sure.
Sure. Why not? I mean, so, you know, happy Macklemore. Not making a statement about social issues, Macklemore.
Sure.
Are you not a fan?
He's fine.
You know what? here's the thing. No, I've come to define, because everybody I see that has the Macklemore haircut now, because it's, you know, it's becoming much more prevalent. And props to Macklemore for starting this trend, the shave on the bottom and then the flip over one side. It's everywhere now. But I just call them all Macklemore. They all look like Macklemore. I'm sure they all are lovely people. I'm sure they have great names. But I mean, me, it's mainly hair jealousy. I just wish I could do it. I mean, trust me, if I could do any hair, Macklemore would definitely be in play at least for a couple of weeks. But I think the one props that may end up being his legacy for a little while, more than his music, which is fantastic, is he started a hairstyle craze.
Yeah. I'm not crazy about that either, but yeah. Whatever.
Today we found out Jim Ossarski is anti-Macklemore.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. news of the week. Let's get to it. So Vontaze Burfict was out and about and working on the side. And I would say if I was defining how he looked, I'd say not great, but I would also say not surprising.
No, especially I think with the microfracture surgery in January, so here we are at the very end of May, he probably wasn't allowed to do a whole lot of anything for three months? Mm-hmm. So January, February, March. So
yeah.
2 months into any sort of physical activity. Just talking about the timeline. So, yeah, it was I'd fall in your camp where, yeah, he was – not that it was overly hot on Tuesday, but it was warm. So that little bit, you know, working with the strength bands, you know, sliding around, trying to do some ladders, you could tell that it was work for him.
Yeah.
But again, to your point, though, I don't think any of us could have been surprised by that just because it's really the beginning of, you know, intense field work. You could call it field work because he's actually on the field.
Yeah.
But he's not really doing football things.
Yeah, I mean, I remember talking to a couple people about this and talking to Marvin Lewis about it even way back in the beginning. And the hardest part, they said the hardest part for him was going to be that the first 3 months has to be do nothing. You have to just sit there and let it work and let the microfracture surgery do its thing. I mean, you're drilling stress fractures into your knee, into your bones down there, and hoping that it revitalizes his cartilage. There's a lot of action. You cannot cause more damage by doing anything. So that's hard for a guy who just wants to be back and work at a schedule to just to sit there and do nothing. And also, it makes it really hard to stay in shape.
Right.
I mean, you know, and that was also apparent today. I mean, Vontaze Burfict is usually a bigger guy, but I will say that he looked a little bigger today, and he looked like a guy who's a long ways away, which was exactly what Marvin Lewis told us
right
afterwards. That was his exact quote. He said, "You know, he's a long ways away," and I think that's apparent. He's hoping to get back earlier than the schedule is, but you can only do what your body says you can do. And let's be honest. I mean, I think that there's a lot of question marks about what his season's going to look like.
Yeah, especially when you factor all the things together, where it's one thing for the doctors to clear your affected body part for football activities, but then it becomes all the other things mm-hmm. of your wind and your other conditioning and, frankly, your strength. Whether it be in your legs, your ankles, your shoulders, I mean, the things you haven't been able to do just because they've told you not to for so long. And look, Tyler Eifert mentioned this, you know, when we talked about this a few weeks ago in this podcast coming back, where he lost a lot of weight because he said, I was told I couldn't lift for that shoulder. So he's like, you lose it. I mean, it's, and most people, we made the jokes about exercising, but most people know if you do not work, you lose what you have. So yeah, it today kind of reinforced the idea that Vontaze Burfict, I think going from here on out, Paul, I don't know about you, but I think for me, when we see him or talk to him or talk to others about him, it's just going to be was there a setback at all?
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, you know, I don't know how fast something will happen.
I don't know that anybody knows.
Right, exactly.
And that's just, I don't know that anybody really knows. I think, you know, the basics of it, as we've kind of spelled out a couple of times here before, is to me the question is, will he start the season on PUP or will he start the season with the team? I'd be hard-pressed to think that he'll lose this whole season. I think he'll come back and at least play. At that point, you don't know what level, but will he be able to contribute those first 6 weeks of the season? I don't know. That's a pretty big if. And how much will he contribute after that? I don't know. That's a big if. But I would be surprised if he lost the whole season. I think that's where it stands right now. And if he works ahead of that schedule and he actually makes an appearance in training camp, good for him. I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
Not judging by where they were at today. I mean, training camp is only less than 2 months away. It's about 2 months away.
Right.
So he didn't look like a guy that in 2 months is going to be ready to go do it.
No.
So I think that's where that is. But we saw him for the first time doing anything. Because to this point forward, we had just seen him limping around the locker room, which he was still limping around the field as well when he wasn't doing his resistance work. Other news, I think wide receivers are interesting news. Marvin Jones was surprisingly working on the side on Tuesday, told us afterwards it was basically a procedural thing where he didn't get cleared. He had to just go to the doctor and do one more thing to get cleared, and then he would, but he was fine, and he was going to be on the field tomorrow, meaning Wednesday, and not to worry about it. We'll see next Tuesday if he's back out there.
Right.
I would tend to believe him. I have no reason not to believe him. He was pretty optimistic. He looked really good running on this. He looked like a guy who was healthy. It probably is just procedural, but I don't think there's, you know, I don't think there was reason for concern there.
No, yeah, he said that that was his sort of standard line, I guess. He told me as well a little bit after he talked to you was, I got to pass physical. He's like, I have to just take it. He's like, other guys have done all this stuff. I just haven't done it yet. Which, you know, that is what it is. But what was interesting was, you know, wide receivers coach James Irvin came out and said, he's like, look, you know, the thing about Marvin is, you know, he hasn't played football in a year. So, you know, yeah, maybe it's procedural or maybe it's just, oh, we'll give him another couple extra days. In their minds, it's still, that's just adding to the last time he really, truly participated. Mm-hmm. And, I think they're curious to see how it translates, especially because the receivers on Tuesday in general kind of had a rough day catching the ball, knocking some winter rust off, if you will. So, I don't think Marvin Jones was leading anyone on. I would be really, really surprised if he is not participating next time we're allowed to see.
Yeah, that. I would too. I'm sure he'll be. I would expect him to be out there. But yeah, you're right. Brandon Tate had a couple of drops, which, by the way, we go out there, of course, there's just two dudes on the bridge watching practice, which is your introduction dudes on the bridge. Yeah. I mean, this is during practice, of course. It's a public bridge overhead. In theory, we could go up there and join the dudes. But, you know, it's just one of those things where it's a Tuesday, right? Middle of the day, and you're wearing a fluorescent lime green tank top, and you're hanging out on a bridge that goes over a river so you can watch an OTA practice with another dude who's probably equally as unemployed as you.
Well, maybe they were taking a break from their run.
Were they? No, they weren't.
I don't know.
No, they weren't. No, they weren't, actually. But they were considering probably jumping off that bridge watching Brandon Tate drop balls because they've just had enough. They've had enough, you know. But we got our first drunk who day of the year, I believe.
Yeah.
Coming out of someone driving over that. At some point, someone's going to crash trying to do this, by the way. It's dangerous because people come over that bridge and they see the Bengals out there practicing and then they freak out, right? And they want to do something. They want to, oh my gosh, football players. So you just get the drunken hootay, and then you hear like a horn beep and the tires skid. You know, but we got our first one of the season. I can't confirm that it was one of the guys from the bridge. It might have been. I don't know. So they were out there watching Brandon Tate not play well, and that just makes Bengals fans sad. You know what I see all the time. If anyone could explain me why Brandon Tate is even here, because listen, and I hear that, here's the argument that I hear, and from friends of mine that I really respect and their opinion is, and it's valid. Okay, you need a camp body, right? You brought in Denarius Moore, you drafted Mario Alford, you've got James Wright in your top four, you've got other guys. Okay, you want security just in case some things happen. Is there nobody else? Is there nobody else out there that you can bring in at the minimum, extra college free agents or whatever, that can maybe be something other than what you know Brandon Tate is, which is a guy who can't get open, who, you know, hasn't done anything for you in how many years when you've needed somebody at the receiver position and can fair catch balls and not return kicks all that well? And you already have a couple kick returners.
The easy answer would be no. Because if that's quote all it is, unquote, is just another person, then you would have to say of course. but he's on the team. So
at what point do you just say, all right, can we all just move on here? This has run its path. People are getting upset out there.
Yeah, the bridge people.
The bridge people don't like this.
Yes.
They're unhappy. I don't know. It's a little split. But I think, you know, it's legit. Bengals fans legitimately feel that way. And I could see it. I mean, if you had injuries, it's a guy you know can do it. It costs you zilch because he's right at the minimum. You know, you can let him go just like anything else. He's fighting an uphill battle. You know what you're going to get there. Maybe you just need him to go out and fair catch a couple of punts. So be it. Let's move on. What else we got here? Tyler Eifert's out there running around catching passes and stuff.
Yeah, I guess the thing about that is at least he's doing what he said he was doing a couple of weeks ago when he said, "Hey, I'm healthy. I can't have contact yet, but I am running routes, catching balls." This is the first time we were able to see that. So again, it's
he saw Dr. James Andrews.
Oh,
He did. He saw Dr. James Andrews and got cleared.
Okay.
For what you saw him doing right out there, it was not like, you know, full 11-on-11 type stuff. But he was out there a little bit. I get the sense that there's no real reason to be concerned about him.
No.
For training camp, that everything looks good, and the fact that he was out there doing almost everything on Tuesday was a pretty good sign that you should be good to go with Tyler Eifert, and you know, until he gets hurt again, pretty much. I mean, the way his career has gone thus far, the guy, I mean, he's been banged up. He's been banged up a lot, and it's been a lot of different stuff, which is, you know, you just makes you wonder if he's maybe not physically able to go through it, but we'll see. One thing, hey, joint practices. I love joint practices. Joint practices are cool. I 2 years ago, when the Bengals went to Atlanta, it was some of the most fun practices I've had, because practices are pretty boring.
Yeah.
But these were really fun down in Atlanta. You got to see a lot of really cool matchups. They, you know, it was at that point in time, I think it was, you know, Julio Jones against Leon Hall, mm-hmm. and lots of good, I mean, they had lots of good receivers and quarterbacks, and, you know, there wasn't too much fist. I think at one point, Vontaze Burfict gave a unnecessary shoulder to Steven Jackson, and there was some chatting, but for the most part, players are pretty good of kind of taking care of each other. Although the Giants are the team that it'll be with, in case you're wondering. And so, by the way, if you're plotting out your training camp schedules and if you practices you'd want to come to down at Paul Brown,
or hang out on the bridge for,
yeah, definitely.
Get at me, bridge people. I am brand new. Get at me.
Yes.
Send me your Twitter pics and your Instagrams. From the bridge.
Fill the bridge. That's what I say. All That's right. going to be, that might be our new hashtag. Hashtag fill the bridge. That's what we want. We want the bridge to fill up with people, our people. Let people, everybody that's not working, and, you know, we embrace our people that are for whatever reason not working. You know, the economy's tough. If you're going to go out there, you want to check out some practice.
If we can somehow get people to chant our names
over
the bridge as opposed to A.J. Green or A.J. McCarron.
Yeah,
that would really turn some heads. But anyway, I digress.
But bridge people, fill the bridge. Hashtag fill the bridge when the Giants come to town, because it will be cool. It'll be August 11th and 12th with the game on the 14th. So there'll be two practices, then a day off, and then the game, which is the opener of the preseason. The Giants will be here. They'll practice against each other. You'll have some 11-on-11, some one-on-ones, corners versus receiver drills. It's fun, and although I will say in Atlanta, the practice of the Bengals were in there was when their top linebacker, Sean Witherspoon, broke something. I remember he broke something, was out for the year. It was like, oh, you know, because it guys amp up a little bit.
Right, yeah, of course.
It gets a little more serious. You maybe do things a little harder than you would in your own practice, and it, you know, sometimes it can maybe cause injury or whatever, so you be aware of that, but it's great. With the new rules, you don't get a whole lot of reps for your ones against other people, and especially when you're just trying to keep people healthy in the preseason. You can do it in a pretty safe environment. Joint practices are great. It's fun. You get to see other guys from other teams. Think about the Giants. I mean, Odell Beckham will be here.
Right.
Best friends with Jeremy Hill. That'll be a cool storyline that week. You know, they're going to be pumped about that. There's a lot, but there's, I mean, you know, there's stars everywhere, so there'll be lots of fun things to talk about.
And let's not forget the overinflated sense of self that will happen thanks to like 7 Eli Manning interceptions.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Look, hey,
Drake or Patrick's like, this is the best thing that's ever happened.
I mean, look, these guys will be feel real good going into that preseason game because Eli's only going to play a little bit. You know, that first Friday,
let it loose.
You know, he still might throw 2 picks.
Yeah,
in this, you know, but.
I thought you were, when you started with overinflated sense of self, I thought you were going with New York media. It was going to be
well, there you go.
I thought that's where you were going. It will be, you know, the small market Bengals media, there's not an overflow, okay? And people that work in New York are used to a certain, it's different there. It just is. There's so many people. There's very strict regulation. We're pretty lax around here a little bit. It'll be interesting when the throngs of Giants media are hovering around PBS for those 2 days. It should be fun. I look forward to that. So if you have a couple of days, if you're trying to figure out what days do I want to go down to training camp this year, August 11th and 12th will be your best bet when the Bengals have joint practices with the Giants. It should be fun. Hashtag fill the bridge. Let's see. Any rookies popping out to you?
Yeah, there were two of the bigger bodies. One was drafted, one was not. Tight end, fifth rounder, CJ Uzama.
Uzama.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because if we wind it back, I'm assuming everyone here has listened to every podcast and watched every video we've produced since mid-April. Yeah. But I was not a fan of that pick.
You weren't. You're a hater, in fact. Haters gonna hate.
And but he does not have a Macklemore haircut. No. But so CJ,
what
you
if
know,
he did? Oh, the, you would. He'd be wow. your archenemy.
The thing that we were told about CJ coming out of Auburn was, hey, big body, he's got a lot of work to do, quick learner, all that stuff. Now, granted, it is just t-shirt, shorts, and helmets. However. You saw some of that speed. It was funny. The Bengals really liked his catch radius. Some of the scouts going in the combine despite his size, didn't think he could, extend those arms and catch the ball. And let's face it, the Bengals quarterbacks today made him use that catch radius.
Yes.
So he flashed it, showed a little bit of speed. And then Jake Kumerow, the undrafted free agent out of University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, to me, again,
such a homer.
Yeah, you're just looking for guys
from Wisconsin.
But you know what? He's also he's got the bloodlines.
He does.
You know, and yeah, he's a good story. Again, you're just looking again, as you said earlier, Paul. It's really hard to, you know, like wow, this person looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So when I guess a guy does catch your eye. That's like, well, why? You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and that sort of pops to me. So those two guys, I would say, really, I notice them. What does that mean? I don't know, but I notice them.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you in that. Uzama, when I remember watching and being like, whoa, 87, he is big and fast. He really took off there. And just thinking that it strikes you. Like, wow, that dude was really moving for a big boy. And then you look, oh, yeah, you know, he clearly has those raw feet. Now, how much he knows how to use any of it in real play, you don't know. And that's part of why he was there in the fifth round. But, you know, tight ends as projects in the, you know, it's you like to have a guy that looks like that. He looks the part.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right about that. He definitely sticks out. Let's move forward to time for some exercise.
Okay.
Some non-physical exercise. We're just going to continue to sit. But I want to talk about defensive backs because one thing that we can sort of take from these practices is these DBs playing and running in space, how they look covering. And, you know, cover, especially when they're doing things like when you have A.J. Green and Mohamed Sanu, and how do you look? And we got some movement back there because of George Iloka came up where he was not participating. He came with an injury. It's just a minor ding, no worries. according to everybody. Everybody says, right. don't worry about it. You know, typically when everyone tells me not to worry, that's when I start to worry.
Right. Right.
But for the most part, he didn't seem to be too concerned about it for whatever that's worth, nor were the coaches. So, but I don't think I wouldn't expect him back anytime during OTAs. I mean, if you got a guy that's got a ding, I don't know why you're hurrying him back. So more than likely what you're going to see for probably the next month will be Sean Williams in at safety. And how many times have we talked about this? Coaches keep telling us over and over again how much they love Sean Williams and how much they think he's ready to take the next step. Well, here you go. It's going to be a pretty big month for him to show where he's at a little bit, and because you really can see where he's at in these in this environment, and as far as how he's doing the coverage and reading and stuff like reading, you know, quarterbacks and things like that. So let's do this. Let's go through DB. So your top four, let's say your top four DBs. So Drake Kirkpatrick, Leon Hall, Adam Jones, Darquez Dennard, and then we'll go George Iloka, Reggie Nelson. We'll go Sean Williams, and we'll throw in Daron Smith, I guess. Yeah, we'll throw him in there last. We'll throw him in there last, the draft pick. So
Josh Shaw?
Josh, yeah, we could throw Josh Shaw in there. Just a rookie. I mean, we don't really know much.
Well, I only say that just because he was drafted before.
He was drafted before him. So we'll throw Josh Shaw in there as a fifth corner. So we'll have three safeties, and then we'll have the five corners, and we'll see who you trust. Who you trust the most? Who's your guy? Rank them. Rank them for, you know, forget that. Who's the best? Who do you want right now at Oakland, week one? Who's the guy, your go-to?
Well, you just asked two different questions. Who do I trust and who's the best?
Who's the best? Who do you trust? I mean, who do you
trust?
There's
two different questions. See, to me, there's two different answers to that.
You think they're different?
I think they're different.
Why are they different?
I'm a guy who, I'm setting myself up here. I think that, and I agree with coaches in a lot of ways, and you can say that this applies to Marvin Lewis, where I do like guys who know what they're doing, who I know that they know what to do. That if there's going to be an error, it's going to be a physical error, or if they're going to get beat, it's because they were beat physically, not because they were in the wrong spot, or they didn't hear the check, or they assumed something wrong. And so in that case, I tend to be a guy who leans towards veterans. And I understand
is Daryl Green still available? I mean, I'm sure he knows all the checks.
Right. And
I mean,
I'm sure
at
I'm
a certain point.
Yeah, and I get that. And I understand that Drake Kirkpatrick is a veteran. And I would say he is probably physically the best corner that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Not probably. He is. But again, he hasn't played very much.
Right.
So when you're asking, like, who do I trust more? It's like, I would probably trust Leon Hall to know what he needs to do in week one. However, the best corner is Drake Kirkpatrick.
You would have Drake. You know, to me, I would be – Leon Hall is not in this conversation for me for number one, first of all. To me – It's between Drake Kirkpatrick and Adam Jones. Because Adam Jones has played well. I mean, he has played well, and he's a veteran that knows what he's doing. He clearly hasn't lost a step. I mean, he's still got so much of his speed. Now, you'll have the occasional time where he'll get burnt and look bad. But it doesn't happen that often. And Dre, you know, his sample size is just so much smaller. But he really played well all of last year whenever given the opportunity. His opportunities were just limited. And he made the most game-changing plays of anybody. I mean, if you look at all his interceptions.
Right.
So I'd have that, and I might put George Iloka in that as far as who I trust. George and Reggie have both played very well, and George has been as solid as anybody in coverage back there. He's just not asked to do as – it's not as challenging to go one-on-one on the island as it is to play safety and just make sure no one gets behind you.
No, for sure. And I think, well, George falls into that category of trust and who is the best. I mean, there are no debates, at least at the safety spot, at least in my opinion on this team. I mean, they're in trouble if whatever ding George has turns into a dent.
Yeah.
Or if Reggie Nelson gets old all of a sudden real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Williams, you bring him up. He's clearly, to me, a three, and we're going to learn, maybe depending on what's happening here.
But I don't know how much we know how far of a three he is, because he talk about never having gotten a chance.
So that's why, I guess, for me, he falls into that, like, I don't trust that guy.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. And if you're trying to skip over all through OTAs and skip through all through camp, and you're just assuming, that's why I would still go with the vets on the outside with Leon Hall and Adam Jones in terms of who I trust. Again,
yeah,
the best. That still might be Darquez Dennard and Dre as the best physically.
Yeah.
Being able to do the job, the best.
Week one, who would you put out there is probably what I would say. Week one at Oakland, knowing what you know right now, who would you put out there? And to me, that's the question. So that's your trust, best combo. Who's out there? To me, it's Dre. I would say Adam one, Dre. Yeah, you know what? Dre's ready. I'm switching it. I'm pulling it right now. I'm saying Dre one, Adam two, and then I'm going probably after that. I'm going to safety.
Yeah, I can't really dispute that. I'll still argue over. I think Dre again, even though he's a veteran, and he talked about having to change his body, change his study habits over the last 2 years. So he says he's doing the right things. You've seen the flashes of him doing the right things.
Mm-hmm.
I think there'll still be maybe some growing pains, but you're right. I can't in good conscience. I can't just like pick a fight because I want to. Like Dre is the best corner on the team, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So yes, he has to be there.
And they want him
be. Right. And I think Adam Jones on the other side, and then Leon Hall and Darquez. And what's funny about that though is getting to depth charts. I mean, nickel corners are essentially starters, and but you're right. Then I would go to George Iloka and Reggie Nelson, just because, again, unlike Darquez and Dre, they have proven it.
Yeah.
Over and
absolutely.
Over again. So, those guys, this is a good debate to have, largely because we're talking about an area of strength for them.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a Bengals fan,
you got to love this.
Like, yeah, these are just really thin slices. I guess after this is where it gets interesting, because you have to account for injury. I mean, we're talking about a ding of whatever for George Iloka. So it's like, okay, well, who's to say any of these guys stay healthy the rest of the way?
It's been weird that you have gone a couple of years now with both your safeties staying healthy, and you just, for the most, you usually have those guys will miss a game here or a game there, and that's why Sean Williams hasn't seen the field. This feels like they're so interested in seeing what he has to do. There's going to be a lot of looks for him, and this next month is going to be really big. What I thought was really interesting today, and I'm going to use this to bring up my conversation with Paul Gunther, is you would see Dre Kirkpatrick would always go out there and match up one-on-one with A.J. Green. At one point, he pulled himself back because he wasn't going to match up against Green, and Green was next, let somebody else go, stuck like Antonio McCaleb in there or something.
Right.
And he got beat, and then Dre stepped up to A.J. He wants that, and you can tell he views himself in that light now, that the time is now. I'm a number one corner, and I want to take on the number one guy. And I thought that was maybe the most telling thing that we saw all day. It was this attitude of, I am the number one corner. I want to be on A.J. Green every time he's out here. And I think that's a huge switch flip.
Yeah, you definitely – that's what you do want to see. And the other thing you want to see then is to live up to sort of the mental, you want to see the physical part match up with the mental.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and they had some fun along the sideline there about whether or not there was illegal contact down down the field. You know, unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to see AJ Green to ask him about this. I know we'll do that when we can. But you're right, Paul. I think that is it is telling because in reality, you've seen enough football. I've seen enough football where sometimes, you know, guys don't necessarily want to match up against. Because you can look really bad, and you know, not to, you know, hey, I'm not gonna call anybody just from my years past, but I've seen it, you know, it's like, oh, I gotta get a breather, I gotta get a breather. It's hot.
Well, what's interesting is how much the narrative has changed about Drake Kirkpatrick in 1 year. Because at this time last year, we were talking about how he's gonna have to fight off Darquez Denard to avoid being the fifth corner, and now we're talking him as the number one corner. 1 year later. It's really a big step that's happened for him. And we would make jokes last year about how anytime he got beat, you could see him, oh, just holding his hamstring. Oh, yes. It's tweaked it there, you know, a little bit. Right. It was always kind of an excuse. It's just no excuses anymore, it seems like. It seems like he's matured in that way, which I want to bring in a conversation I had with defensive coordinator Paul Gunther. This was after practice, and he was walking from the practice field into the stadium, and we just kind of started talking about both these concepts of Sean Williams and about Drake Kirkpatrick a little bit, and he kind of opened up his thoughts about both of those guys. So here's our conversation of walking through the fields, through traffic, and under the stadium, and talking about these two guys. So here's myself with Paul Gunther.
I feel like everybody I talk to in the building keeps talking about how good Sean has looked. You just haven't been able to find ways to put him in. I mean, this is kind of prime for him, isn't it? I mean, this is really, you can't ask for anything better than this.
Sean's been here for what, his third year?
Yeah.
So he's been through this three times. So naturally, that's the progression you want to see out of guys. That, you know, in their third year, it's like, you know, it's like they say, first year you learn the system. Second year, you better show improvement. Third year, you know.
Yeah,
it's really
you got to do it or you got to, you know, there's no place for it.
Yeah.
I mean, you talked a little bit about you know, even the experimenting with three safety sets just to get him in there and get him looks. But I guess in this scenario, you know, you can get a real good look at where he's at. Is it about more the mental or the physical out there now that you're looking for him this time?
No, it's more about technique and, and understanding the system really this time of year. You know, it's not so much about defenses. You know, all the X's and O's right now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's about technique and effort and discipline, really, what we're doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, once you get into the season, still those things carry over, but you get a little bit more on your plate by the team you're playing, you know?
Yeah.
Right now, I'm not going out on the game plan on our offense. I'm going to run what we have put in. And,
right.
I mean, we ran one defense out there today the whole period. So
yeah.
So...
What is it that you've seen from him in practice? Because, I mean, you guys have said that he could start right now. Is it just a matter that he seems to be in the right place?
He's got good range, and that's good as a safety. He's smart. He understands what he needs to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, he just needs a chance. So, I mean, he's going to get his chance. He's going to get his chance in the preseason. And, like I said, the best guys, you know, the best guy. I'd be foolish not to put the best guys out there.
Right, I noticed a couple of times today there was like one-on-ones with the receivers and corners, and Dre even got pulled off of one so he could go back to the next one to go against AJ. That kind of a thing where it's like that's where you want to just let them run against AJ for a while and give him that feel?
I like competitors, so if they want to go up there, you know, AJ is obviously one of the top receivers in the NFL, and anytime you get an extra rep against him, the better you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know? So I like competitive guys.
Dre, he's got that focus on right now, it seems like. More so than ever before.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just my own. I'm trying to see it, or maybe you're wrong, but you see that he's kind of...
I think Dre's grown up a lot in the last year, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's really grown a lot as a person. Not, you know, not aside from football, as a person, he's grown a lot, and what it takes to be a pro, and day in and day out, and the consistency that you need to be a good pro. And I think he's figured that out, so hopefully he can keep it going.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and I don't know if that's a thing where it comes where would you start maybe it was just that taste, you know, that taste of getting out there and see what it's like to make those big plays and be part of it that helps flip the switch. But, yeah. I mean, it seems like he's kind of really starting to bank on all the potential now. He could be a number one in this league right now.
He's just got to keep building off his confidence. I think he's real confident in what he's doing. He understands how we want it done. And, you know, the more that starts to build, you know, it's like a little – it starts the fire, and you blow a little wind on the fire, and all of a sudden, there it is.
That kind of came to fruition in the Denver game, in particular, last year. You kind of saw it.
Sometimes it's a play, sometimes it's a series of games.
Yeah.
The guys start getting confidence and say, hey, you know, I'm pretty damn good at this. So hopefully he can keep it going.
So there's some interesting insight on sort of two guys that could end up playing a very important role if you have anything happen to one of the safeties. And really, it's time to learn about Sean Williams. I mean, what Paul said was right. I mean, it's your third year. It's time to – you need to be doing something, you know, besides playing on special teams. You need to be a contributor. And there's – let's be honest, they see that this is Reggie Nelson's last year and Sean Williams taking over as a starter next year. And that's why there's so much push and they're trying to build him up, give him that confidence. Same type of thing happened with Sean at Georgia. You know, he kind of, and this happens a lot more in college because you have, you know, the ranking, the hierarchy of senior, junior, right, all the way down to freshman. But, you know, it took him a little while to kind of get in the mix. And by about his third year, his junior year, he was really the man down there. And that he was a heart and soul of that Bulldogs defense when they kind of turned into something. And he was the guy, which is hard to believe because he's so quiet. He was the guy standing up, screaming and yelling and talking about, you know, firing them up and how, you know, this performance won't be tolerated. I mean, stuff that, you know, it that meant something.
So what I'm curious, Senator, what do you think of, you know, you kind of made the joke earlier about Brandon Tate and, you know, find somebody, anybody. Well, the Bengals did that at safety this offseason, whether it was, you know, Dron Smith was a late draft pick, but they brought in some established, you know, Floyd Raven Sr., four-year player at Texas A&M, Eric Dargan, you know, a accomplished safety, four-year player out of Oregon. Not to say these guys are going to challenge anyone for jobs, but they, I guess where I'm going with that is, you're right, year three, year four, you got to kind of be ready to be someone, because at that point then you're getting to a, and it all ties together with salary caps and things where it's like, look, if you're not a guy in year four, then
you're not going to get paid.
We're going to draft a guy, or bring in, you know, even a middling free agent who can play special teams and be a four safety. I don't know. I'm just sort of curious if there's a little more. I understand that they're very loyal here, and it goes right to what you're saying about Dre Kirkpatrick. It's taken a little while to get to this point, but I don't know. I'm curious. I'm very interested to see, I guess, if Sean Williams is that guy. Can he really? The one thing Marvin Lewis mentioned today, they asked, "Hey, what do you take away from this?" And he said, "We want guys to know what they're doing now, which earns them an opportunity in training camp."
Mm-hmm.
So if George Iloka is going to miss some time these next 4 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it may be, 1 week, whatever, can Sean Williams do enough to be like, okay?
Well, you know, I can tell you this: I know one thing we know talking to Paul Gunther is he is going to play backups a lot in training camp, preseason. He's going to get a look at them with, and Sean Williams is going to be one of those guys that's going to get a long look with the ones because they want to see where he's at, and because that was something he said he learned the most, that he screwed up his first year, was he didn't have enough work with the backups in there, so when someone got hurt they could step right in and you wouldn't miss a beat. And I think Sean Williams is a prime example of that, and I think this little ding on George Iloka is going to be a good thing for what they are looking to figure out in the long run. I mean, is George Iloka going to really learn anything from participating in OTAs for 3 weeks?
No.
I mean, no, not at all. And you don't need him to be there until training camp and make sure he's healthy and ready to go. So I think it's more important for Sean Williams to get in there and get himself an opportunity to have an opportunity.
Right.
That's Marvin speak. You're picking up Marvin speak pretty quickly. There's lots of opportunities to have an opportunity.
Right.
So I think we pretty much covered them. If you're going down, the further down the point you go, you say, you know, opening day, Oakland, Dre, Adam Jones, Darqueze Dennard is maybe my three. Maybe my third. I want to see it. I want to see it. I believe in it. You can't have coaches talk so much about how he's Marvin Lewis. He's the best rookie corner. Best corner I've seen as a rookie in practice ever. Right. You can't say things like that and not put him in the darn game in his sophomore season.
You know, right.
I have loyalty to Leon Hall too. I understand it, and he'll eventually play. They'll all play plenty, right. I'm sure. But the guy was drafted. First of all, he was the eighth player on your board last year, and you took him at a position that you care about, that you have a battle going on.
Right.
We'll see how he looks in the preseason, and that'll hash itself out. But I say go young. And I would put, if you believed in Darqueze, his ability to play in the slot corner, then I'd say go young. But there's a lot of variables between now and then. But I would maybe even trust him over Leon Hall right now.
Interesting.
Even though he's not done it.
Right.
Just because, you know, he's...
Because now, in that regard, maybe you can physically trust Darqueze Dennard over Leon Hall. You know, where you're wondering how, you know, does he... 2 years ago, it's one thing to come back from Achilles, but can you do it again when you're older?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's fair. It's fair.
It is fair, and I'm happy that you said that.
Yeah.
That's it. Let's end it. Let's put everyone out of their misery.
Yeah.
We'll just call it quits. We do need some music to go out to, though. I don't know what we've.
I will endorse your hair envy. So if you want to pick a Macklemore song,
how about my Macklemore running song? Can I bring in my happy Macklemore running song?
But you said you don't run.
No, but if I did, this is a song that I would want. I mean,
why don't you do that? Do that for the people.
For the people. If you're on the treadmill right now, you're considering killing yourself after listening to an hour of us, just know, keep running, keep finishing, because Macklemore will push you through. And we'll be back, of course, next Tuesday with more reaction to week two of OTAs. Oh, my goodness.
Another opportunity.
Another opportunity for an opportunity for us to not come up with a name for the podcast. Yeah. So, Macklemore, thank you for joining us. For Jim Osarski and Paul Leonard Jr., we'll talk to you next week.
Looking for a better way to get up out of bed instead of getting on the internet and checking a new hit. Me get up, first shot, come strut walking. A little bit of humble, a little bit of cautious. Somewhere between like Rocky and Cosby's for the game. Nope, y'all can't copy yet. Bad moonwalking, and this here is our party. My posse's been on Broadway, and we did it all way. Chrome music, I shed my skin and put my bones into everything I record to it. And yeah, I'm on. Let that stage light go and shine on down. That Bob Barker suit game and Plinko in my style. Money, stay on my craft and stick around for those pounds. But I do that to pass the torch and put on for my town. Trust me, on my INDEPENDENT shit hustling. Chasing dreams since I was 14 with the Fortrait busting. Halfway across that city with the back crushing. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give that to the people. Spread it across the country. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give it to the people. Spread it across the country.
Here we go back. This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us.
Here we go. I'm so damn grateful. I grew up really wanting gold fronts, but that's what you get when Wu-Tang raised you. Y'all can't stop me. Go hard like I got an 808 in my heartbeat. And I'm eating at the beat like it gave a little speed to a great white shark on shark. We rock. Time to go up, gone. Deuces, goodbye. I got a world to see. And my girl, she wanna see Rome. Caesar make you a believer. Nah, I never ever did it for a throne. That validation comes from giving it back to the people. Now sing this song and it goes like, raise those hands.
cause this is our party. We came here to live life like nobody was watching. I got my city right behind me. If I fall, they got me. Learn from that failure, gain humility, and then we keep marching.
And we go back.